Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast.
Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast. I'm Drew Kirby. Tonight I'm joined by Factory Red Bull KTM rider Tristan Hart. Tristan, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. Haven't seen you all year. Where you been?
Oh man, life is busy and the schedule has not lined up. I wanted to be in Iowa and that didn't work out, and then had some family reunion stuff this past weekend, so that's why we missed Iowa. Or excuse me, Ohio.
Gotcha.
You
missed a good one.
So, I mean, I'm not going to jump into it just yet, but so far the season I don't think could have gone much better than it has for you. How do you feel like the season's been?
Yeah, from the outside looking in, it seems like everything's gone well, but the season's probably been one of the toughest on, like, just my body, I'd say. I've been dealing with so many injuries this year that I've never really had to deal with anything like this before. Like, it's just one thing after another. They're not major because I'm still riding, obviously, but they're just like these nagging little injuries that just keep appearing. Like, I think in the last month I've only ridden maybe 5 times outside of racing, so just like super weird for me. I've never been in this kind of position.
Well, anything you want to talk about? Because I know what Enduro Cross last season, you got your thumb pretty good.
Yeah, so I broke that thumb, and that took a lot longer than I was anticipating. But that hasn't really been a problem. It's just like I got tendonitis in my elbow down in Phoenix right before that, and it's not a super big deal, but just like after riding for a bit, my elbow, I can't straighten it properly. So just little stuff like that. And I had that pretty decent crash at the Bentonite Brawl, and that I'm still dealing with some neck issues. It's all so weird stuff. So just kind of little stuff that just keep compounding. And obviously I'm still racing through it, so I think my body's not recovering properly just because of the stress these 4-hour races, I think, put on your body. So got another weekend off, which is really good for me, before Reno and then Erzberg after that. So hopefully get some good recovery these next 2 weeks and then come out swinging.
Well, you mentioned the crash at the Bentonite Brawl in Montana. And if anyone hadn't seen that, we were all just so excited you got up. I mean, that was one of the first things I saw from that race. I'm like, holy cow, how did you – I didn't expect you to get up after that. What happened? And obviously you said you got your neck, and anything else?
Yeah, so it was a really small little water gully or whatever it was. And there was a concrete barrier, like a parking curb, basically. It was only like 6 inches. So it should have been just the easiest jump in the world, but it was so muddy there. And I think they might've scraped some with the Bobcat, and I just happened to go right where they scraped the mud, I think. And I just hit it third gear wide open, and my front didn't come off the ground. It just straight into the other side. And yeah, I just flew over the bars and I landed super hard on my head, and I instantly could feel my neck was, for like the next, I'd say 30 minutes, I was just super grateful that I didn't break my back or my neck, because I landed so hard and it just pretty much twisted my whole neck. And then maybe an hour later, getting closer to the finish, I had a small crash, and then I felt something in my shoulder that just didn't feel right. And then later found out that it was maybe a AC separation and some broken or some popped out ribs, I guess, is what happened.
Oh, you had those. Go ahead.
Those two injuries, I still have. The ribs are just kind of getting better now, but my neck and my back is still not too sure what's going on. I've been getting a lot of treatment, which is, I usually don't go to like massages and all that stuff, but I've been in that stuff steady lately, trying to get it fixed. But
I had no idea that you could pop a rib out like that. And I had one, I didn't even know it was out, and the massage therapist put it back in, and it was like I could breathe all of a sudden. So I can't imagine having several out and still racing at the level you've been racing at. And that was the same ditch that Luis Forsley got hurt pretty good on, wasn't it?
Yeah, she broke her wrist and it ended up being pretty bad. And then Spenny, you went across the ditch, you got gas, and then you turned and you came back. And on the other side, it was a jump. And I don't think Spenny knew the water ditch was that long. So he tried to wheelie over.
Oh.
And then it would have been fast if there wasn't a ditch. But he dropped his front right in the ditch. And he basically did what I did. He went straight over the bars. And yeah. Not sure how he's doing, but he had a big one there too. So yeah, that water ditch took a toll on some of the riders.
Well, so let's step back. We've had four races, two in the West, two in the East. Started out in Arizona, then went to the race we're talking about, Montana. Anything stick out about the Arizona race that, you know, you obviously, you won, I think you had a big lead, like 30, 40 minutes maybe. How was it compared to the year before? So it was in its second year this year, the Grinding Stone. How was it?
Yeah, so this year was a completely different course. Like, it was on the other side of the road, and just from walking it, I thought it was going to be too easy because everything just, it seemed like you could just flow and just, yeah, for some reason I was telling Jim, I'm like, this might be too easy, but it turned out it was the opposite. It was way, I would say, harder than the prior year.
Okay.
And yeah, they just had a couple, they had a couple hills where the rock got so greasy. It was like riding in the wet dirt on the East Coast. I'd say it was just, the rock was so slippery. I was lapping David Knight on the last lap, and then I couldn't get up this hill. It took me five tries, and he unlocked himself, and then I had to catch back up to him. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, it was kind of crazy, honestly.
Okay, so then I'd heard that there was some gnarly, pretty sketchy downhills and drops, and then it ended up being, like you just said, a lot harder than everyone thought it was going to be.
Yeah, there was that one video of me pretty much throwing my bike down that downhill. Yep. That was kind of circulating around for a while.
Yeah.
They had a really good mix of downhills, uphills. It was definitely a fun course. I really liked it. Well, and obviously it's a really cool area to race. I think probably one of the coolest places, I think, on this series.
So then you guys went to what looks like a 100% different, I guess, conditions-wise, when you went to Montana for the Bentonite Brawl, and, like, it was super muddy, like you said earlier, and then the hills seemed like they went, like, uphills and downhills, just massive.
Yeah, this place had a type of dirt, I guess it's called bentonite dirt.
Okay.
And it is just crazy. We were riding an area close by with the same dirt, and they got a lot of rain that week, and this dirt is, like, so thick that it basically just piled in everywhere. And to give an example, it would go into your fork guard and it would just stack so big that it would rip your fork guard off the bike.
Really? Like where the front wheel would catch it and then just open it up?
Yeah. Like it would just push the fork guard right off the fork. That's how it would just pack in.
Oh my
God. Me and Colton were going down this one hill and our bikes just came to a stop. We couldn't even, it was a steep hill and our bikes wouldn't go down the hill because it was just all in the chain, all in our wheels. So I'm like, holy, if this is what the race is going to be like. And at that point, I already knew some of the hills and how bad they were. I'm like, this course is probably not even rideable. So I was kind of freaking out at that point.
Well, because it was, I mean, they were advertising a big, like, what, 30-mile loop, big hills. I mean, you were doing, like, a big, long, what, one lap, correct?
Yeah, it's basically like Erzberg, a 130-ish mile lap. Okay.
Well, and I think I couldn't get updates, and Cody was out there, Webb, and I was texting him, and he's like, man, it's pouring. I don't know if they're going to make a lap. So
yeah, I mean, I definitely was thinking that there was going to be spots we were going to have to, like, go around or just, I don't know what, but I was kind of freaking out just because of the riding the day before the race.
Yeah.
And then the dirt being so messed up. And then it started raining right on the start because it was drying up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then it started raining on the start line. I'm like, Jesus, this race just went from being maybe doable to probably impossible now. But yeah. And then I think it rained like the first hour of the race. And I mean, the start was kind of crazy. I got the whole shot And then I think we were in rows of 10, and I think everyone was following me for like, I think it was 30 minutes, and all 10 of us were still together.
Oh, that's crazy.
So that was interesting. That's never really happened before.
Well, did Colton, he was real close for a lot of that race, or some of the race. You guys were kind of back and forth. Is that correct?
Yeah, Colton was riding really good there.
And then,
go ahead. Not sure what was going on, but yeah, he rode really good. Me and him went back and forth for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours probably,
okay,
of the close to 3 hour race. So yeah, he was on it. He was cleaning the hills, and at one point he kind of checked out and was thinking, oh geez, what's going on here?
Well, and then I guess he took a bad line and got stuck in a mud hole and barely made it out, and his bike barely survived from what I gather.
Yeah, so we were at that point together, and okay, I got stuck in there, and it was like a 10-foot trench, I'd say, and we were at the bottom, and the end was like a 4-foot lip to get out, but it was just a sinkhole right before it. So I went to go wheelie out of this trench, and I just came to a dead stop. My front wouldn't even come off the ground.
Oh, gosh.
And this is pretty close to the finish. And I'm like, Jesus. And then Colton was right behind me. He was stuck too. And I'm like, at this point, the bike is so heavy in the mud that I can barely lift the front up. And after my crash, I threw my water pack because it had this GoPro system that was kind of bothering me. So this last hour and a half or so of the race, I was no water. So I was starting to cramp up, and I was extremely dehydrated at this point. And there was maybe 5 workers at this section. I don't know if they knew we were going to get stuck there or not, but anyways, I ended up taking water from one of them because I was so dehydrated. And then I had enough energy left to just pretty much just lift the whole bike out of there and drag it. Once I had the front up, I just drug it the rest of the way. And then from there, we went straight to the hill climb that took me 9 tries.
Oh, well, of course, I was
watching the video.
Of course, I was going to have to get there. But was it so based on that hill, it seemed like you basically broke trail and made a line. Like each time you got a little farther, and then finally made it. Do you think the rest of the course kind of worked that way where you guys set a line and dug a line in and it got better? Or do you think it was getting worse for the guys behind you? I mean, hard to tell.
No, the way this dirt was, it was just so thick that, like in that video, once you set a line, it would almost turn to concrete. So then it would make it super easy, which we kind of found out when we were riding the day before, that once there was a line, everything got super easy. But
okay,
the first time up, you're just like going through 6 inches of basically mud, I would say. And then obviously, I was only getting like halfway up the hill. So,
and man,
yeah, definitely, it was one of the few races, I think, where being a leader was actually a disadvantage, because normally if there's roots, yeah, and rocks, being first is always an advantage because there's less root showing. Once you dig it up, there's more root and it's more slippery and everything gets wet. But this race was the opposite, which is kind of rare. It doesn't happen often. Well,
and that's what, you know, I mean, whether you're trail riding or racing, especially out here on the East Coast, man, if you're first, you got the best traction and it just goes downhill from there. So watching you try to get up that hill, it sounded like your bike was just under such a load. Like it didn't have power, but I guess you were just pulling, obviously the bike weighed so much and you were trudging through all that 6 inches of mud and stuff to make a line.
Yeah. And also at that point, like there was some really gnarly mud climbs out in the back.
Yep.
And I don't think I had much coolant left at that point. So I think my bike was already pretty tired.
Yep.
And then I had to get up that insane hill. So it was kind of worst case scenario.
And you know, I've been in races like National Enduros where you get some of that mud in the radiators and then it doesn't cool. So then the bike's running hot and you're losing power. So that might've explained a little bit of it as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
Normally my bike never overheat. And at the top of every hill, the thing was just blowing steam everywhere. So I knew that was going to be an issue.
Well, very good. All right. So after those two races, which you won the first two, looked like you had to work a little harder at the second one. You guys came out east to Iowa, the Iowan Hard Enduro. And I raced it last year, and that's some of the weirdest terrain. Like it looked like Hobbit land with all these weird rocks, weird holes. And I heard they got some new land and stepped it up this year. What do you think of the race course this year compared to last year?
Yeah, they definitely stepped it up. They made it a lot longer, and they also brought in a bunch of obstacles that they definitely raised the level of difficulty, I'd say, which is what we all wanted to see, I think, because last year was a bit of a more trail ride course, and this year they was like, yeah, damn, that's hard.
Well, and it looked like if it would have been wet, some of that stuff might not have been doable. It looked very trialsy for sure.
Oh, geez, if it was wet, it would have been a really, really gnarly race. And that dirt, it seemed like there'd be good traction, but it was just so loose that you're spinning almost, and it was bad traction because it was maybe so dry.
Okay.
I'm not too sure, but yeah, it was definitely, they had this one obstacle that was almost unrideable. I think most of us got help every lap because it was just to a crack and there was no way to ride it because of the short run up. Okay. that was a weird obstacle for sure.
Well, they definitely had some holes out there that I didn't want to fall in. And it looked like there was one drop you guys were doing that looked like 6-7 feet just straight to flat.
Yeah, that drop was huge. I was pretty scared to do that every lap. And it was 6 feet from where the bottom of your bike, but your head is another 7 feet above that. So really, when you're coming off, it looks more like 14 or 15 feet when you're standing on top of your bike. So it was definitely pretty big.
Well, and if you didn't do that, there was like a crack you guys went through, like the first lap maybe. Is that right? Or did you guys do that big drop?
Yeah,
I thought it was just to the left of the drop.
Yeah, there was a crack. You pretty much just had to shove your bike down like a cheese grater. Luckily, I did the drop every lap. But
okay.
Apparently, lots of the guys on the first lap went down the crack, maybe just because they were all bundled up.
Yep, I saw that. I saw a little live video of that, and it looked like you said a cheese grater is a great example.
Yeah.
Well, and so I think you won that one pretty easily as well. Colton got second. Ryder LeBlanc was in third. So, but another good race for you.
Yeah.
All right. So then we went to Bad Medicine in Ohio, and the rains came. It looked super slick and super nasty.
Yep.
So
got it.
I didn't go last year because it looked horrible. I mean, it was so wet and so nasty. How did it compare to last year? Was it just as bad?
I don't remember the details of last year. I remember it was pretty wet, but man, it was so slippery this year. I can't even imagine it being that bad last year because, oh my God, it was so slippery. Maybe in the main race, I probably fell like 20 times, I'd say, just from my front hitting the dirt and maybe going too fast or not the right angle and just slipped. Like, not big crashes, but just like little tip overs just because it was so greasy. Yeah, that dirt is crazy.
Well, have they added much stuff difficulty wise? I mean, in the past, it was a lot of kind of up and down, trialsy little sections. Like they had Brent's Diner. I heard they made it a little longer this year. Anything else notable they added in?
Yeah, they added one gnarly side hill in right below the finish, which that one was pretty hard.
Okay.
And then they added a side hill piece in way, way, way at the back. I think it was a new piece of property or something. Okay. And it was so bad that I think only four guys got across it, and then they took it out. Okay. Me and Ryder got there on lap two, and Josh was yelling, "Go around, go around." So we got to go around because I was literally off my bike trying to get it over this rock on the side hill, and I'm thinking there's no way this is going to happen. Me and Ryder, I'm guessing we would have just had to team up to do it if we would have, but they pulled it out of the race, I guess, because no one can do it.
Well, so you guys, I think it was you had 5 hours to do like three laps or something, and seeing some Instagram updates, and it was like Ryder had a 20-second lead, it seemed like, for the first half of the race. Then you ended up in the lead, you know, back and forth. And then last I saw, he had a 2-minute lead, and then you won. So kind of walk us through that race. What, you know, if you don't mind to tell us kind of how it went and how it played out.
Well, I guess we should start with the prologue on Saturday, where he absolutely demolished everyone. I think he won by 9 minutes and just barely over an hour race, and I honestly don't know what happened there.
Okay.
I'm guessing he was first off the start, but he just cleaned everything. And that was the first time this year that I really was at the back. And I thought it'd be fun maybe at the back, but it wasn't that fun.
What, was that a case of there's not near as good attraction back there as there is in the front?
Oh, man, it was terrible. And then, you know, people are cutting you off and they were stuck on the hill. So I didn't clean a whole lot.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't cause Danny. I don't even think I tossed Danny at all in the first lap. It wasn't until the second lap he was riding really well. So that's kind of how far back I was, I would say.
Yeah.
So that's how Saturday went. I'm like, damn, this guy can really ride this stuff.
Yeah, he was
a little worried about that, but I also knew that I rode like a small percentage of what I can actually ride
at
my full potential. So I wasn't too worried. And also that race was a lot easier than Sunday.
Okay.
So then on Sunday, I should also note that I was super sick this week for whatever reason, but I pretty much didn't leave the hotel room that whole week. Like, I was just in bed.
Oh.
I don't know what it was, but yeah, so that wasn't ideal, definitely. I was having kind of problems breathing a bit. So that's just a little tidbit there, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah, so anyways... The gate dropped on Sunday, and I got the whole shot, and then Ryder was a bit back, and he instantly caught me, passed me, and then he instantly gapped me, and I'm like, damn.
What's going on?
He was just gone, like, instantly. He cleaned his hill, and I didn't. I'm like, damn, that might be it right there.
Game over.
No, but I saw him very shortly after that, and honestly, we went back and forth so many times, like, it always seemed like Ryder was in front of me from the way they were videoing the stories, but there were so many technical spots out there that we saw each other pretty much like the whole base at some point or another. But, you know, if he got to a hard section and he got stuck, I'd catch him there.
Yep.
And then he'd get out of it, and then I'd spend that extra little bit getting through it. So it just seemed like he always had a gap on me, but realistically, like, we swapped positions and saw each other so many times, it was crazy. Like, that for sure never happened to me. So it was, apart from being sick and super tired, it was kind of fun the way that played out, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be, I don't want to say boring, but it's got to be nice to have someone to push you and, you know, give you a little bit of race craft and swap back and forth and see what he's doing and see what you can do, you know, head to head rather than just being out there by yourself.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. I learned a little bit watching him. He just had a different style in that slick stuff. I was riding a little cautious, I would say, and he was flat out, like, he was going for it. And I'm like, kid's coming.
Well,
you know, he was kind of riding like a young kid, and I was kind of riding more like a older guy, a little cautious. So I definitely, it was cool to just watch him sending it and learn some stuff, because that's going to help me, you know, when I go to Europe. You know, you can always learn something from someone. And
oh, yeah.
He definitely taught me some stuff.
Oh, well, it was, man, it was exciting to see that, again, it wasn't a runaway and you guys were back and forth. And it was actually, you know, I'm sitting here in Tennessee watching some of those, I guess it was IRC's stories. And, you know, I was just about to text Robbie, like, what the heck's going on? You know, Chuck's too busy running around. He won't respond. But I thought Robbie might have some answers for me, but... you got it done in the end.
Yeah, it was definitely a good race.
All right, so that's basically the first half of the season, kind of recapped. You've got a massive lead. I think you were a 31-point lead right now, because Ryder had some trouble, ended up fourth at the Bentonite, the Montana race, and then he's been a third in Iowa and then a second. So you've had straight 30s across the board, which makes for a nice little comfortable points lead.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not really thinking about that series all that much. My real focus is on the four world rounds I'm doing this year. I'm doing Erzberg, Romaniacs, TKO, and the one in Canada. So that's really where my attention is this year.
Okay.
This stuff is obviously good training for that, but those are the races where I really want to be on top form.
All right. So, and that kind of leads me. So before we get into what's coming up, what do you say is your favorite race so far this year that you guys have done, whether it's course, result? I mean, obviously you've won all of them, but you know, what's one you enjoy the most?
That's a tough one because there's a little bit from each of them, like a different kind of part that I've enjoyed from each of them. Mm-hmm. Like Paige, I like the scenery. The last one I liked because I wasn't riding by myself the whole time. Bentonite was cool because, I mean, they've never let anyone hill climb on that American hill climb. So I guess I was the first guy to ever get up it on a dirt bike.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, so they kind of all just have their unique spot in my memory bank, I would say, that I'll remember from each race.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I didn't know that. And they're also different. You know, it's not like you've had cookie cutter races where they all kind of blend together. So I guess they're all unique enough that they have each got their own thing. And then, you know, of the, before we get onto the, you know, the world rounds of the four races we've got left, or actually five races. Well, you're only going to be doing four of them. Of the four we've got left, anyone you're looking forward to? We've got Donner, and then you're going to miss the Silver Kings. You got Tough Like Roar, and then the last one in PA also.
Probably the one I'm most looking forward to is Tough Like Roar. Uh-oh. Not probably it. That's for sure the one I'm most looking forward to.
Okay. Any special reason or redemption from last year or?
Well, this year they have a huge payout, which is pretty cool. I mean, yeah. For off-road, I mean, it's kind of unheard of to have that much money. So that's really cool. And also, that whole organization there at Tough Like Roar, like they do such a good job of putting the race on. They pay their riders. They have so many helpers on the track. Like it was crazy how organized they were. So and you know, they text us and ask us our opinion on stuff. So they're like just super into it. So I really look forward to going back there. And I mean, the race itself is really hard, and during it, you're like, damn, I don't want to be out there, but. It's a unique course. You know, it's like a 3 hours of just straight rock hopping, I would say. So it's definitely a suffer fest. And
I was talking to Jordan Ashburn after last year. And he was like, man, that was survival from everyone except the top three. Like they were the only one racing the course. The rest of us were surviving. You know, they stepped it up last year for sure.
Yeah. Last year that was the first year I've ever done it, but basically just from talking to Cody and Ryder, I kind of knew what the course was the years prior.
Yep.
So then seeing how much they added in, it was just like, gosh, yeah, they really stepped it up. So we'll see what they have in store for us this year. If they step it up again, I mean, I'm not too sure how many people are going to finish.
Well, I know that I've talked to...
Also,
go ahead.
Last year wasn't even super hot. Like the year before where Colton, I think he passed out or whatever he did, that year was super hot. So if they combine that super hot weather with a super gnarly course, like that's definitely going to take its toll on us racers.
Yeah, I know they're taking out some stuff from the first lap, so that Rob's trying to get more guys to get a lap and then really throw everything the second lap. So I'm looking forward to it. I've seen some videos of some stuff they've been working on, and you know, he's always had the terrain, and Rob Moan, and he just said, man, I want guys to race. I don't want guys pushing their bikes. And certain guys kept saying, make it harder. And he finally just took the gloves off and said, okay, let's see what we can do. And it's got some gnarly stuff for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I like the challenge. I think it's cool. I'm kind of interested to see how Erzberg compares to it this year because, you know, they're almost back-to-back weekend, so it'll be a good comparison to see how it stacks up against Erzberg. And honestly, I'm thinking it's Tough Like Roar is probably harder than Erzberg, but we'll see after we do the two this year.
Well, and so that's actually leads me right into my next question. You're going back to Erzberg in 2019, the last year they had it, your first year doing it. You got 14th overall, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so what's your goal this year? What are we going for? Redemption, you going to get top 10?
Well, I mean, if it was only top 10 I was going there for, I probably wouldn't be going.
No, okay.
Silver Kings. I'm definitely, I'm going there on a charge. Like, I'm not going to put a specific goal, but
okay.
I want to ride to 100% of my capability. And I think if I do that, I'll place pretty well. So really looking forward to that. I've been literally dreaming about that race for the past 3 years. So that's where my head's been at for a long time. So super, super excited. I think that course really, like, I feel like I gel really well with that course. Maybe not the hour of Carl Diner, but other than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, man.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, well, man, we'll be cheering for you. I know, let's see, you're going, Ryder's going. I think Quinn's going, Quinn Winslow. I don't think Colton's going. I heard he's staying here. Have you any other Americans going that you know of?
Brandon Petrie's going. He's Canadian, but okay. He'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. We'll call him North Americans. We'll claim him. And like we claim you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Has he been over there before?
No, this will be his first year. So there's two of us that have been there before, me and Quinn.
Yep.
And then Ryder and Brandon are both newbies. So it's going to be an eye opener for those two. I think it's just hard to explain how crazy that atmosphere is there. Like, the race itself might not be crazy, crazy hard, but the atmosphere, just, you know, it puts you in a mental spot. You're like, damn, this is crazy. Well, and I think that kind of makes it a bit harder.
Well, and it's been gone for 3 years. So I can't imagine that's going to be elevated even more. You know,
yeah, I definitely feel like they're gonna step it up this year and probably try and get the finishing time around 4 hours or something. That'd be cool. I mean, some of the last couple of years, Jarvis has been finishing like just over 2 hours, so that's getting pretty short for extreme enduro.
Yeah, well, I mean, even how much longer they make Carl's Diner, it's just like, I don't know how he got through it as quick as he did.
Yeah, I mean, he's crazy in the rocks. I mean, if they make it any longer, it's going to be, it's already so long. Like, God, if they make it any longer, it's going to be crazy.
Well, so you're going to have to give me some reports. I know Chuck's going with Ryder. And so I need some beer tent reports of Chuck, especially if Ryder finishes and does well. It might be out of hand.
Yeah. So actually, I think my dad's coming to Erzberg with me.
Okay.
And I'm telling Chuck, I'm sitting beside, I think we're on the same plane as Chuck on the way over. So okay. It might be my dad and Chuck in the beer tent might get out of hand.
Oh, man. Well, I heard they were hanging out in Montana and Chuck was saying what a good guy your dad was. So I bet they'll have fun. And I mean, how cool is that, that you guys are getting to go over there, especially you going with your dad? It'd be super cool.
Yeah, it should definitely be a fun trip. I mean, it's gonna be memories for a lifetime, I'd say.
Well, and then, so I heard Ryder's getting a Husky factory bike. Obviously, you'll be under the KTM tent, correct?
Yeah, so he's probably on the same program I was on my first year. It's just like basically a last year's bike.
Okay.
Just like a spare bike, so it's pretty similar. I'm sure that's what he'll be on.
Okay. Well, man, good luck in Erzberg. We'll be watching live and pulling for all you guys. And so then I guess, let's see, Erzberg, you'll come back and do Tough Like Roar. And then that last Locked and Loaded East race. And then you'll go to Romaniacs, correct?
Yes.
All right. So last year was your first year doing Romaniacs as well, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. How'd you end up last year? I should have looked that up, but I didn't even think about it.
No worries. I got seven okay. Overall.
Oh, God, that's not bad. I mean, first time. So
I think my days were 11th on day one.
Okay.
Day one did not go well at all. And then day two, I got sixth. That was the day that was super, super hard. And I think Cody got seventh behind me. So we both did really good on that day.
Okay.
And then day three, I think I got lost on day three. I remember, and it was a super, super fast day, like basically like riding on a motocross track. I got 10th. And then day four, I was top five for most of the day. And then at the end of the day, I got bumped to seventh or eighth for seventh overall.
Well, I mean, God, I think that's impressive for your first time over there. What is it something you need to do a few times to get better at and figure out? And kind of, you know, get your feet wet and realize when to push, when not to push?
Yeah, I mean, going over last year, I thought there was no way that it would take experience, but I was so wrong about that. I mean, that race, more than any other race, I think it's experience. There's like just so much going on there. You're on the bike for like 20 to 30 hours over the 4 days. It's a GPS race. We don't do a lot of that in America, which is kind of a disadvantage going there. And like Jarvis, guys like him, Manny, Wade, they've been doing that for like 10 years.
Yep.
And lots of the gold sections are the same every year.
Okay.
More or less. So it's hard to not say it's a disadvantage your first year there. Like, how many times have the best guys in the world come to TKO and Cody beat them every time?
Yeah.
Just takes going there a couple of years, learning everything, and then, you know, going for a good spot at the overall finish.
Well, I can't even imagine, like, what to pack for 5 days, 4 long days. I mean, God, that'd be half the battle, just figuring out how much stuff to take, how much fresh gear, boots, all that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't pack enough last year. I was trying to scrape by, going to the laundry machine, you know, I was underprepared from what I thought, but that's okay. It was year one, and I'll know a lot more going into year two.
Well, and it's like we did a night race for Sear this past weekend, and, you know, that just throws off your when to eat, how much to eat, like hydration, and you're, you know, getting calories in you. And I can't imagine on that kind of race, you're in another country, you're traveling from spot to spot, like, and, you know, food, who knows what you're getting to eat. Like, that'd be another hard nutrition, just trying to keep yourself fueled.
Yeah, that's definitely another thing you got to think about, just food. But I think I did a pretty good job. Pretty much when I travel to places like that, I find one place and I go there and get the same thing every day. I don't change it once I find one or two good things. I think it was some kind of pasta with some kind of spaghetti I was getting last year, and I just got it like 3 times a day pretty much.
So at least you know what you're getting and how it's, your body's going to react to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so... any other, so then you'll come back from Romaniacs, I guess, and then pretty quick straight into TKO. Maybe you'll have, cause last year y'all came back from Romaniacs and went straight to Battle of the Goats. So that'll be nice since unfortunately Battle of the Goats is canceled, which we're all bummed about, but that'll give you a little more time to rest up before, heading to TKO.
Yeah. So this schedule actually works a little better for me since Battle of the Goats got canceled, because last year, kind of just going back to back to back like that really wore my body down, I think. So having a little more rest this time around is as bad as it, you know, I mean, Battle of the Goats is one of my favorite races. I won it 2 years in a row, and it was my first win over Cody. So it sucks that it's not there, but in this scenario and how the schedule is this year, it's better for me that it is not there.
Yeah, that's what, and we're all bummed because, you know, we've been lucky enough that, you know, you guys are all in North Carolina. You came and rode with us for the week before TKO. So, but so then we'll do, you'll do TKO 2 weeks later is the Red Bull Outliers up in Canada. And then that's going to round out your 4 Hard Enduro World Championship rounds.
Yeah.
How was that race? You did the Outliers last year. Is that going to be pretty much the same venue and event that you did?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the Bentonite Brawl. Like, okay. It's literally just hill climbs, except it's not, it's a different kind of dirt. It's a clay, kind of like Ohio. So if it rains there, like, you literally, it'll be crazy. I mean, it's in the middle of August, though, so it shouldn't rain. But if it does,
good luck.
Might be canceled.
Well, it looked like something off the moon, some of the crazy terrain. It was like no trees and real smooth. I guess it's that like gray clay you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you think of Canada. That's not really what you think about. And it's kind of in the prairies above, I guess, kind of above North Dakota or the east side of Montana. So there's no trees at all. It's just like farming, basically. But I mean, people tell me a lot, like, this is in Canada.
Well, yeah, seeing the videos from when you and the guys did it, it looked not like Canada at all.
No, yeah, but it's cool that we have a world round in Canada, so that's big for Canada, I think. So hopefully everyone will come out and we'll all put a show on for everyone.
Well, and I think it's also very cool that we've got 2 Hard Enduro World Championship rounds here. So guys can come here, do TKO, hang out for a couple weeks, head up to Canada. So you know, might draw a few more guys over here to make the trip.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So real quick, I'll let you go. I got a couple bike questions for you. What, any big changes between your 21 bike and your 22 bike that you can talk about on the record?
Honestly, I don't think, well, actually I changed an engine. I'm using a different engine now.
Okay.
So that I guess is different, but I'm using a fat bar instead of a crossbar. I guess that's also different.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't really think much has changed.
All right. So the 23 SX two strokes and XC two strokes came out. They went from the TPIs back to a throttle body injection. Can you talk about what your bike is by any chance, or is that top secret?
The bike I'm on right now is just like, I believe it's just like everyone else's.
Okay. So it's a TPI bike still.
Yeah. I'm not in one of those crazy European settings right now.
Okay. All right. Well, and that's the big question I had is, you know, are we going to see the TBI coming for the XCWs in 2024 with that crazy frame and those ugly shrouds that looked like they'd impale you? They're so sharp.
Yeah, so. They definitely, it's a completely revamp of the look for sure. Yeah. I honestly don't know anything.
Okay.
If I did, I would probably say it, but I really haven't asked or even inquired.
Because I've had some people asking me, and I'm like, I haven't been around Robbie, so I need to, when I see him, and I'll be at Tough Like Roar, I'm not going to miss that one. So I'll be digging for some information, see what's coming, hopefully. So,
yeah, dig away at him.
All right. Well, Tristan, thank you for your time. This podcast was presented by Off-Grid Syndicate. They've been hooking us up with some pull straps. I think so we're getting some levers and some fork guards. So excited to be pairing up with those guys. We appreciate the support. And Tristan, man, thank you for the time tonight.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me on.
All right, man. Hey, good luck in Donner and good luck in Erzberg, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. See you, man.
Yeah.